The cost of following Yeshua. I just want to say this, that people are all over the world going through religious motions from different religions. And there's a big difference between going through religious motions and walking with God. To really know God, to have Him guide our lives, and to have what we do in our lives be something that draws people to the living God is altogether different from going through religious motions. We get pictures in the scriptures of various ones that began following Yeshua. And I want to talk to you after I read this statement, these statements by Yeshua again, of one such person, Peter. His name in Hebrew was Shimon. How many people know what Shimon means? I know Daniel studies Hebrew. How many know what Shimon means? Yes, it is. The main Jewish call to faith is the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel. It means, wait a minute, listen to this. This is important. Shema, hear this. Listen to it. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So, Isaiah says in chapter 49 of Isaiah that Messiah would come for two purposes. He would come to lead the Jewish people back to God. See, you can be the called people of God and wander from God, as God found his own people doing all the time. Because when Isaiah opens his prophecy, he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for I have brought up children, and they've rebelled against me." That's a hard thing to experience, isn't it? Kids rebelling against you. But he's talking about Israel. And so he sent the Messiah to draw the Jewish people back to the living God who had called them. Yeah. And secondly, to be a light to the Gentiles, to the Goyim. Now, the scriptures have been dispersed through many parts of the world, and one Jewish person has been responsible for causing the Hebrew scriptures, as read as well as Berit Chadashah, the New Covenant, to be dispersed, so that people could hear the good news of the kingdom, and that's Yeshua, Jesus, is the Jewish Messiah and prophet who is responsible for the scriptures being dispersed to Jews and Gentiles. And it was actually through a Gentile person that came to my house that I first heard that the Messiah had come, and that the prophecies of Tanakh, which Christians call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, prophecies of Tanakh had been fulfilled. And I came to know him at a very difficult time in my life when my father was dying of cancer. And I called on the name of the Lord in the name of Yeshua, and he changed my whole life. He directed me to the Father and taught me how to pray, "Our Father." And you know, right now, my father and my mother and Gracie's father and mother are with the Lord, and God is the only Father I have. And he wants to be the Father to each of us personally. He wants us to have a personal, intimate walk with him. And so he sent the Messiah to tell us about that intimate walk and to correct those thoughts and those approaches which we have in our lives so that we would walk closely and intimately and know what it is to love Him with all of our hearts. That's the root, to love the living God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might. That hasn't changed. That was the word given to Israel, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. And Yeshua and the rabbis call this the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That the love that we would have for the living God would result in our outreach to those around us to display the love of God in the way we treat those and take care of those around us. Yeshua set down very clear terms about what discipleship means. There was a man in Germany when Hitler arose who was studying theology, and he went to England to study further, and he saw this evil man, Hitler, arising in his own mother country. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he felt that he couldn't be there in a safe land and have himself sheltered while his fellow countrymen were going through such torture and persecution. So he went back to Germany. And eventually, Heinrich Himmler, the head of the Gestapo, had him hanged. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he wrote a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. That's how I got my title, The Cost of Following Yeshua. And he said, he made this statement: when Jesus, Yeshua, calls us, He bids us come and die. Now, to a lot of people, that's a strange statement. But listen to this. Matthew 10:32-42. I'm going to read it again. You just heard it. And I want you to think about what this means. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven, before Adonai, God. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. This is the call to discipleship. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Now, why is that? Why should coming to Yeshua cause division like that? And I'll tell you why. The scripture, the New Testament, says the whole world lies in the wicked one. That the reason Messiah had to come is that mankind is not in sync with God. Mankind is being led by the evil one. That's why it says the whole world lies in the wicked one. Messiah comes to call Jew and Gentile back to the living God. But it's going to be that some people and families are going to serve God with all their hearts and be willing even to die for the Lord and for the message of deliverance. And others are going to think that's foolishness. I have identified with Yeshua because I know in my heart that he's the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. A cousin of mine had a near-death experience and went into eternity and came back to say he saw Yeshua, Jesus, and Moses standing next to him and one other person, and he sent me back to know what this was all about. And over a three-week period, with his wife interfering, I gave him the good news of salvation in Messiah. And even though he had had this supernatural experience, he chose the world instead of Messiah and died without the Lord. And when we were introduced at his relative's home, where they were sitting Shiva, that's mourning for the dead, Gracie and I were introduced by his sister, who said, "These are my cousins, Harold and his wife Grace, and they are Jews for Jesus." We don't call ourselves that. We're Jews who believe in Jesus, who believe he's the Messiah. They're Jews for Jesus, and we don't even consider them Jews. That there's this hostility against the Messiah. And if you are going to stand for the Messiah, there will be a lot of people in the world that not only give you the cold shoulder, but Yeshua said, there's going to come a time, this is in Matthew 24, when the person who kills you will think that he's doing service to God. That's what Yeshua says. And he says, here's how you should love me above everything else. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We should love the Lord more than those who are closest to us. Now, that's not a bad thing, because that doesn't mean we won't love these people. We'll love these people more in the way we should love them. But the point is, if you choose other than God's primary concern, he's saying the root of all love is to love the Lord first and foremost. And the fruit is loving those around. Unless we learn what it is to love the Lord with all of our heart, we won't know what it is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we don't learn to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, we will not be able to dedicate our whole lives to the Lord the way he asks us to. And we will not be able to do what Yeshua told us, that a greater commandment is this new commandment, that we love one another as he loved us. The Lord sent the Messiah, who loved us so much, he gave his life for us. He became God's sacrifice. He says, therefore, we're to have this sacrificial love, that we love the Lord so much that he put in us the love that would go to the extent of laying down our lives for one another. And laying down our lives, if he calls us to be first and foremost his witnesses, and we're persecuted for it. He says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. If you receive Yeshua, the Messiah, you receive Adonai, the Lord. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Another translation is give up every right to himself and take up his cross. The cross was what the electric chair was at one time in our society, the means of death. You have to, and follow me. You have to die to self. We in the fallen nature have everything about self. That's the fallen nature. Now it has to be not myself, but God be glorified. And it has to be, my life is to be lived that others might be attracted to him and his kingdom. And so when Luke quotes this, in Luke 9:23, he says he must take up his cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? That this fallen nature is such that in order that it not take possession of us, there should be a daily dying to self and all that is glorifying self, dying to that we might live to the Lord, and that he might be first, and that our passion in life is to glorify him. It's interesting that there are these other verses expressing the above truth, Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, John 12:25. The teaching concerning denying oneself, putting to death the self-life to follow Yeshua, and making love for God and obedience to him paramount, listen to this, above everything else, is found in all four Gospels. Not every teaching of Yeshua is found in all four Gospels. But this thing about dying to self to live and glorify God is found in all four Gospels. I'd say that's very important, wouldn't you?
Yes.
That's vital. Now, to get a picture of how this worked itself out in a life, I want to point to Peter. When the Lord called him, he had just been working all night with his partners in fishing all night, and he had caught nothing. And Yeshua gives a message to the group by the shore there in Galilee, and he tells Peter, launch out for a catch. And he says, we fished all night and caught nothing, but at your instruction, I'll do it. And he went out into the deep part of the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and the net was so filled with fish, they could hardly pull it. And when they got to shore, Yeshua told them the most powerful thing, leave your nets and follow me. Well, as Peter walked with Yeshua, a lot came out about himself that you knew had to be changed. He confessed when the others said, he says, whom do you say that I am? And they believed he was a prophet, he was Jeremiah, he was John the Baptist. And he says, but whom do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua said, you know, Peter, flesh and blood, human beings haven't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Yeshua told him about his going to Jerusalem and dying for the sins of the people. And Peter grabbed him and said, oh, no, not you, Lord, no. And here's the one who confessed who he was. And Yeshua is saying just a short while later, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't understand the things of God. You know, We humans are such a mixture. One time we're up and one time we're down. And one time we know what God is saying and one time ourselves takes over, the self-life. And so he says, you're off kilter. You don't realize what's of God. I have to do this. I have to give my life. Well, anyhow, Peter, at one point when Yeshua is headed for his death, says, you know, the others might deny you, but I won't. He said, oh, no. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times, which he did. And the Lord had called him from the fishermen's nets, and he had been with Yeshua 3 years, hearing all these wonderful teachings about the things of God. And even after Yeshua's resurrection, what does he say? It starts going through his mind, how am I going to make a living now? He's gone. He's not going to be walking. I go a-fishing. And the others say, numbers of them, the apostles, we're going with you. You know, Yogi Berra had a saying after he got fired for the seventh time as manager of the Yankees. He says, this is like deja vu all over again. So what's going to happen to Peter is like deja vu all over again. I go a-fishing. And there they are out on the sea, and it's early morning, and Yeshua knows what's happened. He says, hey, boys, did you catch anything? And it's the same thing all over again. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. You know, what it really says is this. If we do it the Lord's way, there'll be some life involved. There'll be something powerful involved. If we do it our way, there'll be nothing. And so he tells them where to put the nets, just the way he did before. And there they're lugging that net in. It's so full of fish, they can hardly make it. And when they get to the shore, guess what? He already has a breakfast going. Actually, he didn't need what they had. He's trying to say, you know who I am? I'm the master of the elements. I'm the great provider. He takes some of what they have and uses it, but he had breakfast all prepared. And then he questions Peter. And scholars have a different approach to what this means. Some scholars think that he's asking Peter, does he love Yeshua more than these other people do, more than these other apostles? I don't believe that. I believe the problem here is that he saw his nets as paramount and very close to him. They shouldn't have had the place of prominence next to the Lord that they still had. And so he says to Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, I know there are two different words used here for love. And each time, Peter had denied him three times, and he asked him this question three times. And he tells him, feed my lambs. Again, Yeshua said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He uses a word like phileo instead of agapao. Agapao is like the deepest kind of love. Phileo is like, what would you describe it, Ted? A love like fellowship? friendship. And he says, take care of my sheep. Now listen, just because Peter hadn't arrived yet where the Lord wanted him, he didn't say, you know, I've had enough of you. You failed me this many times. He doesn't say that. He's beginning to pull Peter out and call him. He's going to call him. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Yeshua asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you stretch out. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Yeshua said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. You know, can you even think of that? You're calling someone to a task. And, you know, he didn't discuss his Blue Cross fringe benefits with him. Do you see that? He didn't discuss all the goodies, did he? He discussed another kind of cross, that he was going to die for the good news that he's going to be taking to those around him. And the last thing he says is, follow me. Now, these are the last words of Yeshua in the Gospels. Now, I'm not saying that in their order, these are the last words he said, but this is the fourth Gospel. This is the last chapter of the fourth Gospel, and Yeshua says, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Yeshua loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Yeshua at supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? That is Yochanan, John. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Aren't we always concerned? If I have to go through this, what about this guy? Is he going to have it easier than I? Is he going to have more goodies than I am? What about him? Worrying about the other guy. Yeshua answered, if I warn him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. What is that to you and to me about the other guy? Even if we're going through deep water, and this is a result of our following the Lord, he has a purpose. It speaks about the trial of our faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. If the Lord wants us to go through fire as a trial of our faith so that we become more dedicated and purified, then why are we going to turn our backs on him and walk away? Does he just call us to a life of comfort? Or does he call us to glorify him? He tells Peter by what death he would glorify God. Not by how many goodies he can store up. And then he says, follow me. You must follow me. It's interesting, the change that occurs with Peter. If you see Peter in the Gospels and oftentimes vacillating, and then you read his epistles, it seems like a totally different person. What a change came over Peter. And in his second epistle, here's what he writes. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. He talks about the qualities making one effective in his knowledge of Yeshua. And then he says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. This is an impermanent thing. It's a tent. Because I know that I will soon put it aside. He knew he was ready to die for the Lord. I'm going to put this aside as our Lord Yeshua the Messiah has made clear to me. I accepted what he said about my laying down my life. And I know it's going to happen soon. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He's saying, you know what's important to me? Not that my following Yeshua means my laying down my life, but he gave me this assignment to feed my sheep and tend the lambs. And I want to make sure that you sheep and you lambs are taken care of after I depart. That's what he's saying. Isn't that a different Peter? I mean, the Lord is trying to transform us so that we would stop being so self-centered and love him so much with all of our heart that we would be willing to lay down our lives for him. Listen, that can't happen in the natural. He has to anoint us for that. He has to give us the power to fulfill his calling. And that's what he wants to do. Because when you and I leave this body, the scripture is very clear. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah to be judged for the deeds done in this body, whether good or evil. I want to hear his well done, and I want you, each of you, to hear his well done. And the only way we can hear his well done is by being totally devoted to him, that he's first and foremost. And this message of salvation is a passion in us, and we are to fulfill God's calling. When we live for this world alone, for storing up goodies, and for making ourselves famous, and it's all about our ego, we are not going to hear well done. We have to do what he said. We have to die to ourselves and self-centeredness that we might live for him and glorify him. Does anyone who's looked at these scriptures have anything to add?